Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, along with my co-host, Mr. Michael Thomas, and also Brother Satavi Jahi. And before we, turn you over to Mr. Jahi, I just want to say welcome to those of you who are on Facebook Live, also those of you on Blog Talk Radio. And to our panelists, we have several with us thus far. A new gentleman with us tonight, he will be sharing a little bit, Mr. Robert Smith, our sister, Kathleen Murphy, Mr. Michael Thomas, as I mentioned to you earlier, Brother Vernon Streeter, Mr. Rico Crowley, and Mr. Walter Dempsey Murphy is also joining us. So, as people begin to chime in, we're going to just go ahead and get this podcast started because it's a lot going on. And a lot of things are happening to us, by us, and for us, and all that good stuff. But things are happening. And before we get into our conversation tonight, I just want to share a little information about the National Black Unity News. The National Black Unity News is a publication by us and for us. Also, we are what you call an independent publication. What I mean by that is we are not kept. We are not dependent upon any outside sources to sustain us. The unique thing about the National Black Unity News is that we sustain ourselves and we provide solution-oriented information to our readers. And we're online. If we have a physical publication. Matter of fact, I'd like to announce that our hard copy is now being circulated. And if you have not gotten a copy, if you have not seen it online as of yet, but it's nothing like having this publication in your hand and to archive it, because I believe that we are making history. And these copies that you're getting this day and time is going to be it's not only is the publication unique, but I think it's already had plenty of value, but I think it will have a lot of value in the future. Because, like I say, we are so different from pretty much every newspaper out there because, like I say, it's a collaboration. It's a lot of great minds have come together to bring all types of information to our readers. So I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, to get a copy of the National Black Unity News. You can go to our website, www.tnbun.com. Again, tnbun.com. Also, we encourage you, like I say, to subscribe. And for those of you who have something to say, something that can enhance people's quality of life, if you're a black business or a service or organization, and you want to share your information nationwide and beyond, and you have solution-oriented information, then we encourage you to give us a call to join this movement, because we have been around for several years now, 5 or 6 years going on. And we have made many a stride over the years. We have been all over the United States, and now we are, pretty heavy in Africa and other places. But because we are a physical newspaper and an online newspaper, we have reached, I'm literally going to say millions and millions of people have had access to the National Black Unity News. So, again, get involved. Because if not us, then who? If not now, then when? It's up to us to make changes to our community, to our future generations. And so, again, I want to thank all of the editors in the National Black Unity News, all those who subscribe to our publication, and all to all of those who actually read the publication. With that being said, I'm going to turn this call over to my brother, Satavi Jahi, who always has something positive to share with us. Brother Jahi, you got it, sir.
Yes, sir. We come over here every week we do is we open up with a reading from Daily Motivations, African American Success. And the author of that book is Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, and What Makes the Great Great. Three fine books by Mr. Kimbrough. I suggest if you don't have those, add them to your library. And our reading for the day, April 11th. Absolutely positively has to be there overnight. Quote, if you want wine, think wine. Barbara King, pastor of Hillside International Truth Center. We attract to us what we think. If we think and see goodness and prosperity, they shall come to us. In the words of the Master, as you sow, so shall you reap. Cast your bread upon the water, and it shall return to you. Two men were walking into a neighborhood town when both fell into a raging river. One man panicked and feared the worst. He fearlessly attempted to buck the torrent, the torrents, and struggled to make his way back to shore. His resistance in the river overcame him, and he drowned. The other man decided not to fight the flow. His mind was consumed with the thoughts of safety. As a result, he relaxed, laid back to the best of his ability, allowed the river to carry him. Eventually, the river deposited the second man onto a calm shore, where he found himself in a town towards which he had been walking. Every thought is a prayer. Each thought is like an order that we place with God, who is prepared to give us all that we ask for in the forms of our thoughts. The more we dwell on any thought, the more likely we are to see that thought manifest in our experience. We can make this principle work for us by forcing on the thoughts that we would like to see turn into events and experiences. We are constantly attracting to us people and conditions that mirror exactly our patterns of thoughts. Once the laws are clear to us, we can see the random or accidental events eventually the results of a very intellectual design system of justified relationships. So decide upon what you want. Set it up in thought. And before you know it, your desires will absolutely, positively be back on their way to you, to dreamer. I will make my own destiny. And that's what we did with the National Black Unity News. I remember when we was putting this publication together, and you came to everybody to share with them what you wanted to do and how they could get involved. It started off as a thought, but today it's actually into physical existence. So, again, I say to everybody out there, your thoughts, if you direct them clearly, they will come back to you in forms and substance of the things that you want. So be careful what you think. As they say, you know, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. So with that said, David, I'm turning back over to you, sir.
Boy, I tell you, you continuously step on my toes, as church folks say. You know, but, yeah, you have to be very careful what you ask for. You know, before I introduce this young man that I just met recently, based on what Brother Satavi said, you know, one day I was reading the word, the Bible, and I think it was in Isaiah. You know, I can't quote all the scriptures and what verse they had, but it went pretty much like this. God would ask the question, say, who will go? And I think it was Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And that verse jumped out at me, you know, still does, you know, and I sincerely pray that to God one time, hey, Lord, send me. And you do have to be extremely careful what you ask for. See, especially when you're dealing with God and the universe and all of this stuff, because sometimes you'll be sent. And most of the time when you're sent to, it's not comfortable for you. Especially when you don't know how this is going to happen, this, that, but you just have faith enough to get up and go. But, you know, in my lifetime, it was a journey. But, you know, in hindsight, you know, now I understand a lot of things. But while you're going through those things and you ask for certain things, you know, be prepared. Because, like I say, you got to be extremely careful because you may be sent, but you don't really want to go. But with God on your side, you can't leave. So, you know, take heed, you know, it's all good. But in any case, about a month or two ago, you know, I belong to this organization called Black Men Unifying Black Men. And we've been around, we just had a breakfast this past Saturday, and I think it's our 91st consecutive breakfast. About 8 years we've been running. And a couple of months ago, while we were having this breakfast, this young guy came up to me, and he introduced himself. And he said he was doing some wonderful, wonderful things that he's preparing to do, and some things he's already doing. And we re-communicated this evening, so I invited him on to share what this young man is doing. And his name is Robert Smith, and I'm going to ask him to unmute himself. And Mr. Michael Smith, I mean, I see you, Mr. Michael Crawley, but Mr. Smith, if you can unmute yourself, let me know.
Yes. Okay. I'm able to. Thank you, Mr. David.
Okay, well, let me just do this for you. This young man, like I say, he approached me, and I find it, how would you say this? I am well pleased when I see the younger generation not only walk up to you, introduce yourself, but, you know, saying he's doing this and he's doing this and he got plans to do this and do that. And you know, it makes me feel so good because see how our younger generation is popping up, taking their place. And I'm not going to say, I'm going to let him talk about him. I know it's not always easy to do, but, you know, he said he wanted to network, want to meet people. And so here we are. We're going to bring him on here, and I want you to, you know, listen to carefully what this young man has to say. Mr. Smith, you got the floor.
I appreciate that, Mr. Murphy. How you guys doing again? Like Mr. Murphy mentioned, my name is Robert Smith. I'm born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland, West Side. And I want to say in 2020, the end of 2020, with all this pandemic,
you are
and
muted.
Going on,
you can
I,
mute or unmute yourself by pressing star 6.
That's affected by incarceration or deportation. And I mainly started because, again, being a young male in Baltimore City, the things that I, you know, grew up on or things that I, you know, seen that was second nature. All my friends either go to jail or die, you know, and the things I grew up from and the things that they have now are totally different. Like I grew up on situations where we had block, you know, block parties, so the neighbors knew us. It's like one of my biggest pet peeves about my rental company is we call it, it takes a village to raise a child. And I take that kind of from my mother's side of the family in Chicago, the old Southern style family where, you know, on the block they knew you as being, you know, the Smiths or, you know, the Montgomerys. And, you know, you couldn't go down the street and do nothing without your family knowing. And I think that if we come up with activities and these mentor companies or mentor companies like myself can, you know, give these kids other opportunities or other things to be why they are in the community, as well as show them other ways when growing up how to, you know, be successful, I think we can help impact our black youth. Because all they see is the same things. Drug dealers on the corner, you know, growing up, you know, you see somebody driving and nice clothes and things like that. That's appealing. But let them know the differences on, you know, what working can give you or maybe owning your own business or, you know, just networking. It may be a lot of different routes that we want to just expose these kids to. So that's just a little bit about me. I don't want to take too much of the floor, but, yeah, I started this in about 2020. I became a 501c3 early February. And I'm just trying to get this ball rolling. I want to be able to, you know, start doing some events, get the YMCA and the Powell Centers back open because we need to give these kids something to do and get them off the street. We keep complaining about murder rate and things like that, but we need people like myself or businesses like myself to give them opportunities. There's a lot of recs closed, you know. Summer, maybe we do, you know, events, Cadores Park, we get a couple of school buses and just make it a big thing. But again, it takes a village to raise a child. So that's part of this networking is me just trying to, you know, explain who I am, what, you know, my company is trying to offer and see how we can, you know, get this all together, make a community.
Let me ask you something, Ben. You're from Baltimore, right?
Yes. Well, I'm born in Baltimore. I used to live in Chicago, but yeah, I'm from Baltimore.
Okay. Right. Let me ask you a question. How old are you?
I'm 30 years old now.
Okay, yeah, you're a little older than I thought you was, okay? And yeah, I was hearing you talking about the younger generation. Well, in my age, you're like a nephew. But anyway,
I know, right?
No. But like I said, you know, 30 years old is you right at that mark where you from, you know, that generation. Now you got a generation behind you, and you seen some of the things that you had to go through, and now you seeing what they're going through. But you know, I don't know what's going on, but from the time I came on the scene, it seemed like things has been declining, you know, from each generation. You know, we got a lot of progress here and there, but I'm talking about when it comes to the family, unity and communicating, things have been on a decline. And so what encouraged you to get involved with this? What was your motivation to start something like this?
I always had a passion to do like mentoring. I was kind of one of those kids who I was fortunate enough to just, I guess, a lot of my teachers or instructors or just anybody came across, they were very, you know, supportive and just trying to help me and then help me see things like, you know, that I didn't see. Like, again, I was from Maryland and all things like that, but my mom, right when I got out of high school, you know, she was incarcerated. You know, my father's been incarcerated since I was 7. So growing up, and then I was ambitious. I wanted to go to college. I had all these things I wanted to do. And, of course, my surroundings, like, for example, my mother, she was incarcerated with the federal government for 10 years right after I graduated. So I had to do a lot of things I've seen on my own. Like, far as, you know, when you fall out fast, you got to have your parents' W-2s, you know, where in that situation, my mom didn't have that. So I had to also go out and think outside the box. So I just think that my drive, my determination, and the people I came across was a good support system. And then also the things I'm experiencing. Like, I've a lot of friends I grew up with, I mean, sorry to say it, but they no longer are here with us, you know, and because of the choices that they chose. So I just seen that a lot of people had choices, and without the right guidance, we can make the wrong ones. So that's where I started to say, I had the support, and I just want to give back to give, you know, the youth opportunity, because it's a mess. It's really a mess. Every day you look on the Instagram or every day you look on the news, you know, you see another 19, another 20-year-old, somebody who lost his total life, right? And that's embarrassing. I mean, that says a lot about us too as adults, right? Because, of course, we are a team. I mean, this is a community. Us, we all got to be active. We can't walk past something and think that it's going to be okay and accept it later. No, because all that comes back, and that's where we are now. We're murder rated at an all-time high. We have to get to knowing these kids, see what makes them drive, start having workshops, figuring out what triggers them, you know, give them opportunities, showing them other things, so that way we can try to change this. Because, I mean, like you said, our future is our youth. And if we don't invest in that, I fear for our future. I mean, you see what's going on now.
Yes, I agree. Now, tell me something. You know, like I said, how long you been doing this? So you said a couple of years, man?
Yeah, I actually started it off really with a dream. I mean, again, like I mentioned, I started it mainly because my mom, she, you know, didn't take the best path in her life. And was, you know, taken away from us for a few times. And then in that time when she was gone, my older sister, she, you know, passed away. But when my mother came home and got reunited with the, you know, community, and I was supportive, she's now, you know, owner of 3 Assistant Living. She's able to help me know about mentoring companies and networking with the right people. And now, you know, she took me, I want to say, in 2020, one of her closest friends had just launched a mentor company. And then I was just, you know, excited about it. And she was, you know, willing to try to show me. So I said, let's just do it. I came back to Baltimore and I did it. Last year we had our first annual coat drive. She flew from Alabama to come and help me out and donate coats. It was a great thing. But we was able to give out 75 brand new coats to the community, you know. And that's just where my heart is. You know, my son, I have a 9-year-old now. And the way I grew up and the way they grew up is totally different. It's like most people, when you have a kid, you start, you know, tapping into some of those younger ideas when you were younger. Or like, for example, when I was a kid, I liked a certain shows. So, of course, I'm going to show my son certain shows and things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that scenario, really, whereas though I feel like we are deprived, my child is deprived as well as anyone else in this community if we don't start giving these activities. Because in my community, it's nothing but a CC Jackson. There's no more power centers, you know, YMCs are limited. I mean, I know it was Corona and things like that, but this is the footprint. So I'm just trying to see what I got to do and align the right team up so we can try to get these kids something to do, get them off the street. I'm not going to say I can change everyone, but
okay,
One step at a time.
Okay, you say line some things. Let me ask you something. If you know, I mean, not putting you on the spot, but What are some of the things that you need to help you to get you, you know, to what you want to do?
Well, first, I just became a 501c3, so I've been doing all this for the last 2 years, funding out my own pocket, really. So that'll be a start. I heard a lot about the 501c3, so the grant process, understanding that, as well as just networking, really, just to see, you know, other communities that's willing to participate. I can do most of the footwork on my own, but I think that would be the start, at least letting me know, hey, what could our budget be like? You know, then I get the kids and just talk to the school buses and see, you know, what could they maybe, you know, donate for a couple hours, or how much would they charge, X, Y, Z, things like that. Because I want to do, right now I have every first Saturday, we have workshop of CC Jackson. So between 10 and 2, I have 4 hours set aside for the kids to come up on Saturdays, and we just go over different things, like depending on the age and, you know, how many show up. We'll do resume building, internet and interview techniques, coping skills, just a lot of different activities to keep you engaged.
Well,
I think that's all I would need, is just help with the grant process at this moment.
Okay, yeah. We had, like, one of our calls, he's real, you know, familiar with grants and 501c3s and everything, our brother Satavi calls. And then we have several other people on here who have worked with you and have a lot of experience in a lot of areas. And so I'm going to encourage you to keep coming back, you know.
I will.
Get involved, man, because, like I say, you are most a group of people, man, who do care and they do share. And so I appreciate you taking time to come on. Don't go nowhere. You know, you got to get to meet some of these folks on there. But before we get into another call, anybody have any suggestions for this young man, or advice, or words of encouragement before we move on? Anybody? Unmute yourself.
Now through April 14th, join a clean and spacious Planet Fitness.
Yes, just follow your dreams. You're going to be okay.
It's the perfect place for everybody to work out.
Okay, that's Dr. Pender. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, anybody else? Trudy, I see your hand raised.
Yes. I just want to say to you, Mr. Smith, at your young age, that is like David said, when we start to make a transition at 30, and then especially when you have a love bigger than yourself, that is how you end up, you know, turning away from certain things and looking forward to raising your child. I have been doing some research on inner city crime, and it's exactly in these large cities, they want to keep the crime centralized there. And what is happening with the sense of hopelessness, a lot of the children have one parent or two parents that were not there for them. So the emotional fatigue, the devastation, the competition, the hate of one another, all of this kind of stems together. And I was looking at TED Talk, but it's TED Med, and just a little bit about that, how every city has an area, I mean, every state has an area where it's violence like that. It's out of control. And now that has gotten so out of control, they came up with a program called Displace and Replace. So what they're doing is going to the youth, they're mingling with the inner city and trying to get them to give up their guns, or if they don't give up their drugs, then they're going to take it. They're trying to take a new approach. But funding is always, I mean, the program could work, but the funding is not there. The other thing that I wanted to say, when we started off tobacco, to write the vision and make it plain upon the tablet that he run that readeth it. I mean, so wherever we put this vision, it starts with a thought, like Brother Satawi said. It starts with a thought. but then we have to commit it to paper. And once you start to see it, it takes on a life of its own, and then it does become reality. But I commend your zeal. I commend your confidence, and go for it, because we need a lot of people. Matter of fact, us old people need to pass the baton to the new generation. And you're right, it does take a village to raise a child. By the time you got spanked at school and got home, and I'm talking about personal experience, you got toe up, met at the door, and toe up, because everybody held you accountable. And that's what we don't do today. We don't have accountability like we should. That's my two cents.
Okay, I appreciate that. And let me say this to you, Mr. Smith. Now, you know, I listen to you very carefully. And thank you for being open and honest about your upbringing, you know, the situation with your mother as well as your father. But, you know, and that, you know, sometimes we can use a lot of excuses and to blame, you know, some things because this will happen this way, things happen this way. But I'm glad to see that no matter what happened, you were able to come through the ashes and to push forward. And not only push forward, but you reach them back and try to, you know, bring some other people up as well. So, again, so a young man, you can call on me anytime, you know, and, you know, of course we're going to talk about some future things. But I appreciate you coming on board. Anybody else, you know, want to say anything to this young man before we move on?
I did have one other question, too.
Yes, sir.
As far as you asking what else would I need, also, I know you mentioned you do the publications for the newspaper. I know we spoke a little bit about that, but I just wanted to put that out there. I do want to help get more advertising.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. And all right, sir. So I appreciate you know stick around, sir. You know, but in any case, you know, let me share this with if you all. Some of you have already known because I put something in the text the other day about one of our editors, and it was so happened to be my first cousin from out of Boston. That would kind of go me to the point of this topic tonight. You know, do what we can do today because tomorrow is not promised to us. And I'm going to share a little bit about what transpired over the last couple of weeks. Now, this cousin of mine, you know, he was actually born in Baltimore. But at an early age, he moved to Boston. I even stayed with them up in Boston, you know, for a month or two. But this young man had always had a spirit of writing. And like most of us, sometimes he hit some roadblocks. You know, he had all kinds of things that happened to him in a lifetime. But he went on to be a grandfather, great-grandfather. You know, he has several children who loves him dearly. And they, you know, just by listening to him, you know, posting about him. And he was, you know, loved by quite a few people. But for some strange reason, and I don't think it's strange, that's a bad choice of word, but he and I started talking about a couple of weeks ago, and I suggested that, you know, he put an article in the National Black Unity News. And so he finally, cause, you know, this is not the first time I asked him. I had a paper a long time ago called The Informer, and I wanted him to write in that as well, but but his mindset wasn't right at that time. But in any case, last week, he was so excited about being in this publication. He even wrote about that. This first, he had two kind of articles in there, but the first article, the first thing he was talking about was about his family, about how appreciative he was to be in the publication and to be amongst you all. And because I said he know about it, because I sent him an issue, you know, he's on the mailing list, so he gets an issue every issue of the paper. And unfortunately, he passed on last week, and he never did get the opportunity to see him, you know, his article in the paper. But his family, his children, all of them have seen it already. And they are so, I just want to pass this on to you, they are so appreciative that he made this issue. And not only that, you know, what I normally do, when people first come into the publication, I really want to introduce them. So usually when you first come on, and I'll put you on their front page so people get to know you. And he's on the front page. He's the second one from the top, Mr. James C. We call him Craig, James Craig Holiday. And so I just want you to keep our family in prayers, you know, because I think they made the arrangement. His funeral service will be this month on the 23rd. And I'll be leaving town on that Friday and probably come back Sunday. Mm-hmm. But in any case, you know, the point I want to make is this. And, you know, at my age, I've been to so many funerals, you know, but you know, every time I go to one, something happens because it reminds me of the time. You know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody because last week these people was alive, and here they are this way today, you know, those funerals that I went to. And I have met so many people over the years that, you know, I have, what they call them things, obituaries. I had boxes full of them. That's how, you know, that's how many funerals and people that I know had passed on. And with this brother, you know, my cousin this time around, you know, like I said, his you know, he was so excited and you know, to finally be in this publication. And I don't know on the spread, because like I tell y'all, you know, this is by divine inspiration. This publication is by divine inspiration. And I don't know how things work, but you know, his brother kept hitting to me like this. He was saying that, in a sense, that he reached his final objective, you know, for things to do, you know. And I don't know how God works, but I do know this on a personal experience, that sometimes God will keep us around to finish a task that he has for each individual. And I told y'all this story one time before with this. Last year, I had a stroke. And when I had the stroke, then after the stroke, I had a multitude of seizures. Every hour, I had two seizures and stuff, you know. And I was fully aware of what was going on. I could feel it. I could see it. But when you go to these seizures and stuff like that in the stroke, you can't talk. Or you can feel stuff going all over your body, but you can't, you know, you can't tell people what's going on with you, but you're fully conscious. And then when these things got being consecutive like that, you know, every hour I would count the time, you know, it come, I could feel it coming on. And then around the fourth or fifth time, I thought personally, I was thinking, you know, myself, this was it for me. This is the way I was going to go out. And I do believe in God. I do pray. You know, this is my thing. You know, I'm not suggesting anybody else, but I was just for me and my house. But in any case, you know, I said this prayer, and it was, to me, it was kind of strange. See, I don't fear like some people may do. You know, some people may fear death or something like that. I think I cheated death so many times in my lifetime. I'm serious. That it's amazing that I'm still here. That's why I say I'm a walking miracle. But this time around, in my spirit, I really felt this, that, you know, my work wasn't done yet. And that's what I prayed for. I said, how can I leave here, God, with my work not finished yet? How can I leave? I mentioned y'all. How can I leave y'all like this, you know, and we ain't finished? And that was pretty much it, was about the prayer. And but like I say, and lo and behold, here I am. I'm still here. And what was so miraculous about the thing, like I said, when you have stroke, most people are distorted, have some type of physical things that happen to. But in my case, I stayed in a nursing home for almost 30 days after that. And I was in a stroke unit. And people was twisted up. They were in wheelchairs. They couldn't walk. Because I was in what they call the rehab place. And they have a lot of people, and I was looking at the people, and I was the only one out the whole crew in there that can walk around that track with no assistance. And people will come up to me and say, you sure you had a stroke? You know, they would ask, you know, but like I said, that's the power of God. All I'm saying is this to you, while we still have time, this is the bottom line, while we still have time. And this is what was on my mind, it's still on my mind. you know, sometimes I had this thing about me sometimes. Some people call it procrastination. Sometimes a lot of us, those who are doers, sometimes we have so much on our plate and we think about so many different things. Next thing you know, the day is gone. Well, you got so many great things that we want to do, and sometimes you like you sit around all day long thinking, I got to do that and do this. But all I'm trying to say to you is this. I don't know, because I don't know what goes beyond it. Nobody came back and told me what happens after you die. You know, we had ideas, but nobody physically came back and told me this is what happened. But I do know one thing, that tomorrow is not promised to none of us. So like I said, we was here one moment, and like I said, a blinking of the eye, you gone the next moment. And a lot of you who, because people who's on this podcast, because I'm not, you know, I don't know who's on the Facebook Live or the blog talk, but I do know quite a few people that's on this panel here with me right now. People of great inspiration, people who have great gifts and talents. And a lot of us, you know, we still on the front lines because we ain't giving up, we ain't giving in, you know, we got work to do. I get up every morning, and I got work to do, you know, and that's a blessing as far as I'm concerned. But now, you know, just based on, you know, just recently what happened to my cousin is that it's a little bit more urgency with me now. You know, you can't keep putting things off. You know, sometimes you got to make a list, whatever you have to do, do what you need to be done today because tomorrow's not promised. And since tomorrow's not promised, and you know, the encouraging thing is, you know, thank God if you live to be a certain point at a certain time in life, you know, 70, as they say, you know, I made that mark. But to see this young man like a Robert Smith come up to me, and like I said, we just talked again today for the second time, and he shared a little bit about himself, you know, that gives me hope. And so today, that's why I encourage him to come on today, because like I said, I don't know if I'd be the mother. This brother's man, he may change the world. And we don't reach out to those around us, you know, those who we can help. You know, I ain't saying going out there waste, you know, spending all your time doing that for everybody else. But you have to have balance in life. You know, do what you can. And you know, like I say, you try to live a life with no more regrets. You know, yesterday is gone. You know, today is all we have. You make the best of this time. This is a precious time, especially when you reach a certain age. You know, like I say, man, this is serious stuff going on. And so with that being said, I want to ask you some questions. Hope he's still on here. I think he may have left. No, he's still there. Dr. Pender, can you unmute yourself, sir? Amen. Dr. Pender, now I talk about my age sometimes, but I think you got me by a few.
Yeah. I think they got shoes older than you.
See, that's old school right there. yeah, but, you know, like I say, you know, people like Dr. Pender, you know, he inspired me because, you know, I know a lot of younger people, but I don't know too many people I can match energy with this brother. You know, he's very enthusiastic. He's full of ideas, you know, and work. He's been putting in work pretty all his life, you know. Like you said, he got shoes older than most of us. but you know, Dr. Pender, you know,
yes,
like I say, because, you know, at certain points, sometimes people like, and some people live longer than others. Some of us are still young. And sometimes we take life and everything else for granted sometimes. And from your perspective, sir, you know, like I said, you've been doing this and doing that pretty much all your life. What makes you do all of these things? You could be sitting back there like you're doing now, back on the beach with the wind blowing in your hair. And
Well, I was going to do that until I got wind of the National Black Unity News, and it just fit. I guess it just fit my personality. It's because everyone on here is about doing something positive. And I was in civil rights years ago. I did a lot of things in my life. And my memoirs is coming up. And I look at it and I said, did I really do that? You know, God put me there to do those particular things to get us to right here. But all of my life and all the lives of those who are on this broadcast, the only reason we're here is to glorify God. and I lived all these many years until about two or three broadcasts ago, until I found out something that impacted me 30-some, 40-some years ago. My mission and your mission, we're on our one mission trip, and that is to glorify God. That's all we're doing on this broadcast. We find out information here and there, like the young man that's on the broadcast.
I don't know about
it. He's on the broadcast, and he is doing all these things. It's because that's what God gave him before he was born. He gave him that abilities to reach down in the side of a hurt and bring actually relief to other people. And so I'm just inspired by the people who are on this broadcast. But overall, I can't retire because I love to work. I really love to work. Working is like, I've had so many of my relatives who retired at 60 and 70 and stopped working for 6 or 7 months, and now they're pushing up daisies. I mean, I realize I got to push up some daisies sooner or later, but I just love to work, ladies and gentlemen. It gives me a thrill. And the broadcast, actually, one of my things that I like to do is investigative reporting and stuff like this. I like to find out information that a lot of people don't have. It's like I was Trudy and I were talking earlier about eugenics. And I hate to get off the subject, but I got to bring this in. Eugenics and the people who were actually taken out of Africa, came out of Africa and became mutants, and how that over a period of time they began to inbreed, and from that there was the eugenics movement to get rid of them because they were criminal minded. That can go a whole lot of ways, and these people didn't look like us. So it's a lot of information out there that we need to know, especially when we're dealing with the crime in the black community and all these things that's happening. All this stuff was pre-planned. This stuff has been planned from before you were born. And the system that you have educates you. I'm sorry. indoctrinates you. And when they get through indoctrinating you over a period of time, they saturate you with the thing of it is that you're nothing. And over a period of time, you begin to hate yourself. And that's why there's so much killing in the hood. So I got to stay on point, because when I was in civil rights, we dealt with the issue of where do we go from here? Saving one soul in America one at a time. So thank you very much for your time. But I think everybody on here is doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Don't let it down. I don't care if one of us fall dead tomorrow, if I fall dead tomorrow, keep up the good work. Dave, you and your cohorts that began this program, you didn't do this. It was the Holy Ghost thing that put this together. Keep on with the National Black Unity News. It's the best thing that ever happened since Fresh Air. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I appreciate that. But you know, someone told me a long time ago, sitting back, and when they say we call ourselves retarded and all of this kind of stuff, he said, you know, human beings are the only one who think that way. You know, a lion will always be a lion to the day he dies. An eagle will always be an eagle to the day he dies. They ain't talking about I'm going to stop being an eagle. I'm going to sit back on the nest and do nothing. You know, they do that. They're going to roar and soar to the day they die. And so, you know, and so is me now, you know, because like I say, some of us, no matter what, you can't sit down anyway. It won't let you. You know, there's something inside of you that will make you get up. You ain't going to have no peace until you do what you need to do. So your mom will go ahead and do it. And, you know, like I say, but today is here, and we hoping for tomorrow. We see what happened yesterday. And things, you know, like I say, on one side it looks kind of promising, but on the other side, because wisdom and knowledge sit there, like Dr. Pendant just mentioned, see, a lot of times things was hidden from us, especially when they confront out of slavery. But I'm talking about before that, like I say, when we start digging a little deeper who we are and whose we are, so we need to really look at who we are and who we are. You know, they, like you say, you in a system now where they your only history go back to a slave. Okay. But in any case, you know, with wisdom, knowledge, and people sharing information right now, that's what we do with the National Black Unity News. Our eyes can be open now. So but we can see now, you know, we can hear now, you know, and it's a lot of information out there. Seek and you shall find, knock, and the door will be open to you. There's a lot of things like we all, most of us on here already know systematically things, like you said, is already pre-planned for us. But then again, God always raises up people like ourselves to combat these issues, you know. And so, and it does take a village because, like I said, we have so many gifts and talents on here. But why I got my brother on here, because it's an event coming up this Wednesday, and this brother has a strong solution of how we can bring all these gifts and talents together but stop without anybody taking being the leader or this, that, and this, that. Everybody bring their gifts to the table, and we all feast upon this table. And we can all take this information and share it with one another, strengthen one another. Brother Cliff, let people know what's going on up this week. There you go. Unmute yourself, sir.
Okay. All right. Greetings to everyone. First of all, my apologies for being a little late. I'm always running around doing stuff and thinking, okay, I got time to get here before the meeting starts. I always get here late. So first of all, my apologies for that. Second of all, I want to thank you for continuing to do your weekly, actually several times weekly, broadcast, podcast like you're doing tonight, and giving an opportunity for people to speak about things that are happening and to provide their analysis and also to let people know what's going on, just as you do in your paper. As far as Wednesday's event is concerned, it'll be the fourth Zoom meeting of the Cooperative Coalition, and we're still in the process of building that, quite frankly. I mean, we're still kind of shaping the direction it wants to go in. So a lot of times people say, well, what's your goal? What's your plan? Well, the plan is going to be what the people in the coalition make of it. So we are still in the process of building that. I think the main things we're going to be concentrating on, at least to start with this week, are going to be a number of people who we are inviting to speak a little bit on what kinds of resources they know of or are involved with in terms of trying to lift the people up in the educational and cultural arena. We had mentioned in the previous meeting that we wanted to concentrate on a few things to start with, not to say that that would be the entire strategy of the coalition, but that there were a few things we could start with perhaps now or very soon. And those things were culture, education, media, economics, and maybe even a little disaster preparedness. We can get someone to come in and do an emergency preparedness presentation. But this week, I think we're going to see about getting a few people. I know Elder Murphy, we want to get you to come on and say a few things about the National Black Unity News and what it is capable of doing and is doing to lift up the people and educate them and to expand their minds. There are also at least a couple of museums. There's the Sankofa Children's Museum. There's also the Great Blacks and Wax Museum. And I'm hoping that individuals connected with both of those organizations will be able to come and speak. There are a couple of people who are also connected with the effort to establish independent, whether it's a school or it's just a program, an educational program for children's and adult education. And we hope to be able to get those people on board for this meeting as well. And then if we have time after all of that, then we may go into a brief discussion of some of the different Black agendas, Pan-African agendas, that we had an opportunity to at least discuss. I've taken the opportunity to grab up some of those documents and email them to people, but some of those things are like 50, 60 pages long. So if I can figure out a way to reduce them to a much more digestible bullet point kind of a thing, then we might be able to discuss those things on Wednesday as well. And then if people have important things that are happening in the community in the months of April and May, I know African Liberation Day is coming up at the end of May. So those things are there's an opportunity for people to share what their organizations are doing with regard to those different types of events with each other, so that we will once again no longer have the excuse to go on about our work and ignore each other. So that's a big part of what it is that we're trying to do. The meeting will be at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. That's April 13th at 7 p.m. And I hope I've gotten the Zoom link to you, Baba David. I hope I've gotten the Zoom link to you. If okay, great. So hopefully in that way, the people who I don't have direct contact with, they can get that information from you. And other than that, I just look forward to seeing people at 7 p.m. on Wednesday.
All right, I appreciate that, sir. I'll definitely try my best to be on it because I'm willing, you know. But you know, life is what it is, brother. Dr. Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening, everybody.
Yeah. And this is another announcement I want to make with Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie. Now, he's here, there, and everywhere. I'm serious about that. I don't know how he does it, but he's doing it. So what's going on tomorrow morning, sir?
Yes. Absolutely. Tomorrow morning, everybody that is able from 9:30, it is the Good Morning to the Leader in You podcast that I am fortunate to be one of the co-hosts on. The host is none other than Ms. Catherine Trotter, who is just a phenomenal young lady doing some great things. But we came up with this idea, or she came up with this idea for this podcast to have entrepreneurs, to have community organizers, those people that are just doing some great things in the community, for the community, about the community, to have them and come and talk about just the great things that they're doing. And none other than our brother David Murphy will be on with us tomorrow morning from 9:30. It'll be about 30-35 minutes we'll be on, and we're just going to talk with him about the great things that he's doing with the National Black Unity News, all that we're doing with the National Black Unity News, talking about just the great things that we have going on in the community, him being a stronghold in the community, a pillar in the community, in the media arena, talking about the importance of media in our community and how we utilize that tool as a means to be able to get the word out, keep the word out, and educate us. Because no one's going to educate us. It's going to take us to do what it is that we need to do. So we're going to be on tomorrow morning. It's going to be on the CTR strategies page. I'll put the link in the comments, Brother David, so that people can go directly there tomorrow morning, 9:30. And I'm going to be putting it in the, I'll be putting it on your page, Brother David. I'll put it on mine. I'll put it on the National Black Unity News page as well. As well tomorrow morning, but, you can go to the CTR strategies, page as well. It'll be there live, tomorrow morning, 9:30. Good morning to the leader in you. We hope to give you, I know Brother David's going to come and give us some knowledge, some information and tips that we can use in order to be able to pour into us as leaders, us as entrepreneurs and everything like that. So that's what we got more coming up tomorrow morning. And then Thursday, Brother David, is I have a interview for the author showcase. One of the author showcase will be Thursday at 6 p.m. It'll be on the National Black Unity News page. I'll be interviewing Dr. Monica Jackson. She will be with us tomorrow evening as well. So you want to come on for that. She's going to be one of our authors that we have on the showcase on tomorrow with us in the meeting. But she's going to be the interview on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. The title of her book is called Wounds to Wisdom. This young lady has been through a awful, awful, awful lot, and she has told her story, and she's healing and helping other people to heal and to move forward. It's powerful. So y'all can get a little bit tomorrow, and then you'll get even more on Thursday from her. But you got to tune in both days, tomorrow evening at 6 at our meeting tomorrow, and then on Thursday evening at 6 p.m. where she and I will talk for all an hour. And we're just going to talk about those great things, different things that have to go on about us healing and healing others and moving forward in life. So looking forward to that. Thanks, Brother David.
All right, thank you. See, like I say, you know, the network, you know, it's continued to grow. Like I say, this brother here, there, and everywhere. Tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, at the same time, 7:30, he'll be on sharing tomorrow. Like I say, Thursday, and if he told the truth, he'd be quite a few. I ain't never seen nobody do that many interviews in my lifetime than this brother. He's involved with so much stuff. But you know, it's good, though, that you know, you out there, and you share information. See, the beauty about what he does is it's not about him. He highlighting other people, sharing their story. And, of course, we know if we don't share our story, and what he's doing is so vital to our community because, like I said, when we start sharing our narratives, you know, nobody else is going to do it for us. You already see what they've done with our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents. They just wiped them completely out like they wasn't here. You know, took what they... You know, just took everything from them and claimed it every day. But see, today we have an opportunity because of these waves of information through radio, TV, internet, and everything else, word of mouth, everything else. Now we're able to share our stories. So our people, our children, and our future children can see what we are talking about, what we have done, and what we plan on doing as well. So, Brother McKenzie, I appreciate you for that. Brother Cliff, man, you know I always appreciate you, you know, because like I said, you're a frontline soldier who is always, you know, still on the front lines and trying to unite our people. And he's a wealth of information. But just like so many on here, you know, I like to go through the whole gauntlet on here. And so my buddy, Michael Thomas, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today, sir?
Good, good, David, and yourself.
All right, what's going on with in your neck of the woods, as they say, North Carolina?
Yes, sir. Yes, thank you. Greetings, everyone, the National Black Unity News team and our audience. And I want to greet the Muslims in the holy month of Ramadan with the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum. May the peace and blessings of God be upon you, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Merciful. And what brings me to the neck of the woods is the National Black Unity News, the media that we desire to spread around America, although it's all around America now and overseas. And we want to get it into the homes of especially all the African Americans in America so that they can have access to news that is uplifting, you know, and it talks about the education. Not only talk about the education, but we put the education platforms in place, all because of the National Black Unity News unifying black people around the country. So that's an awesome undertaking, you know, for the Black Unity News, and I'm proud to be one of the members of the National Black Unity News team. And the gentleman that was on here, I wanted to speak to him and also tell him to continue his journey, that we have great minds. We have beautiful minds, as Dr. Pender has on his paper. We have beautiful minds. He has a beautiful mind. If it ain't no beauty, you got to make some beauty. Have mercy. So continue doing the strong work, Mr. Smith. I'm thrilled about what you're doing. And so... But that's all I have to say. I'm grateful to be a part of the National Black Unity team. Thank you.
All right. And he didn't mention this, though, but, you know, he has an organization called 1,000 Great Minds. And all I can say is this. We have quite a few great minds in the National Black Unity News, and we're making a powerful impact. Can you imagine what you can do with 1,000 great minds? Man, I just tell you, man, it, you know, like I said, no excuse. And everything that we are doing, you know, collectively as well as individually is such powerful things. Like I say, but, you know, like I say, from where I sit and the people that we are surrounded with, is just, it's amazing. And so that's why I say it's no excuse for us. You know, like I say, we just have to continue to reach out. Don't give in. Don't give up. You know, the battle ain't over until we over with. But, you know, the battle will continue on because it's like we are standing on great shoulders. People are waiting to stand on ours as well. But, you know, we have to give them our best. Serious time. We're going to take serious people, and we have to make a serious effort. And in doing so, you know, we have already changed people's lives. And like I say, you never know the impact that you're going to have on someone that could take. Like this young man who was on there early, you know, who knows that, you know, with our assistant, you know, the village coming, assistance brother, and you never know what this brother can do or will do. But, you know, so that's why I say, man, you know, it's such a powerful journey. And Mr. Walter Murphy, are you still with us?
Yes, I am, David. How you doing?
I'm still here.
I can see that. And let me talk.
Yeah. And Mr. Murphy, you know, I know a lot's going on in your life, but, you know, I just want you to share some of the pearls of wisdom with the brothers and sisters on here tonight. Whatever's on your mind, sir.
Well, I hope that what's on my mind turns out to be a pearl. No question about it. I really do. First and foremost, thank you all for being on the call this afternoon. It is a pleasure and an honor for me to do it, even address you. You guys are amazing. And when I say that, I'm talking about my 73 years of existence. There is a lot of wisdom on this call. Take my word for it. I've been watching you guys over the last few years, and I've got to tell you that what you bring to the table is needed. Do not stop. Do more of it. Give more of yourself, and you will get a lot more back, I promise you. One of the things that I also want to do is I want to thank Mr. Smith for coming on. Sir, I understand that there's a lot of people who have lived your life. There are a lot of writers in movies and stuff like that write about your life. It's been not perfect. It has not been one that you would want for yourself. However, one of the things I want to commend you on, sir, is just surviving. You'd be surprised how many people don't make it. You'd be surprised how easy it is for you to be taken out from something that you can't even see. Not just talking about COVID. I'm talking about a lot of other stuff out there. Don't even see it. It is a miracle for you to even exist. But while you're here, do some good. While you're here, your job, and I heard Brother Dr. Pender was talking about earlier, you know, about living for God and doing those types of things. It is all true. But one of the most important things that we all can do for ourselves, and I'm going to say that I'm going to repeat this, one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves is to find in this life a whole lot of joy. Just J-O-Y. We're not talking about making a gazillion dollars or traveling around the world 13 times. We're just talking about J-O-Y. When I think about my dog, he puts a smile on my face. My granddaughter puts a smile on my face, and they ain't even around. That's joy. You hear what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? Find joy, okay? And that's my message to all of you guys, and with that, David, I'm giving it back to you.
Amen. I just got to sit back and say, you got to be grateful, man. I am so grateful. So, because, man, all I see, man, is just, you know, hope. I see wisdom. I see knowledge. I see that we do have a plan. We have plans. And with that being said, there's a young man on here. I'm going to speak for him because I know he don't catch him up for public speaking. But there's a young man on here by the name of Rico Crowley who has an organization called God's Given Hands.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, it's such a powerful organization. Does powerful things for so many. And again, you know, so they say charity begins at home. I know a lot of us give to this and give to that. But, you know, I always say this, by the grace of God, there go I. Not only myself, it could be my sister, my brother, my cousin, or something who may be down on their luck. For whatever reason, could be mentally disturbed. They could have lost a job. Could have been anything and need help, need support. This brother, him and his organization, God-Given Hands, they on the front lines, gathering food. They gather together clothing, toiletries, and stuff that can help people when they going through it. and don't say we won't go through, because we just saw in this past year, the last 2 years, how so many people thought that they were secure. They were in the soup lines too. Didn't know how they, where the next meal was coming from. You know, it was rough out there. You know, and don't say it again. It won't happen again. But then again, thank God for trouble like Brother Rico Crowley, the God-given hands, because they just don't talk about it. That's why he don't talk too much, you know, but he's doing it. And I encourage y'all to support him, because it does take money, organization, to keep this thing going. And they go straight to the hood. They ain't got no whole lot of staff members that getting paid and all of this. They go straight to the hood and give it to those that really need help. So, Brother Rico, man, I appreciate you, sir, and you keep doing what you're doing. And then we have Brother Vernon. Are you available? Yeah.
Oh,
there you go. Yeah, what's going on with you, sir?
All right. You know, sometimes if you don't see me or hear me, I'm working in, you know, working behind the scenes. I'm always working.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm just building. You know, of course, I have, you know, my station, but I'm building, working on the departments, on, you know, partnerships. Still working on, you know, behalf of the community and what we're doing here at the National Black Unity News. You know, just to build things for resources and to connect. So that's what I'm doing on my end.
I appreciate what you're doing. But like I say, Vernon's one of those brothers, man. People like it back in the, what they call it, the Revolutionary War, what they call Minute Men. He show up in a minute. he's like that. You know, he will go there and he don't have his hands stuck out. He just does it from his heart. And so, you know, that's why I say, man, it's no excuse for us. You know, we got people doing so much for so many. And now, Kathleen, are you still on? I know you said you had to leave.
In another meeting, Dave.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah,
she had to go.
Yeah, it's her meeting. Yeah, I seen it. Yeah, that she said she had to leave. And Trudy, you want to say something, Parting?
Parting. I am enamored. Is that the right word, Dr. McKenzie? I am so overjoyed to be a part. Dr. Pender is always like up to here. So anytime I talk to him, I'm like, wow. Okay. You know, I get it. I get
energy.
I mean, and I think it's very important, because the older we get, you know, you're right. People can just sit there and rot and die. And growing old, I mean, we may have had the spirit or been an eagle or a lion back then, but growing old ain't easy. I mean, you have to embrace it. And I think this is a way to keep, to pass down, to hand down the secrets and share the secrets before we can't share anymore, you know, before it's over. And like you said, like that's still a quarterback, 24, gone. You know, it's everywhere you look, people are gone. It's just so untimely. So I'm thankful for divine intervention. I don't take it for granted. And, you know, wherever I can help lean in, I will.
All right. Let me just say this in closing, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Like I said, that young man who came on early, Mr. Smith, you know, he just called me and see, you know, most people not do things the way we do it, you know. See, we'll bring people in, we would embrace them and, you know, pour our resources on them if they sincere. And they, you know, really about being what they say they're being about them. You know, I'll give them my full support. But let me say this, too. You know, about each one of you, you know, of course, you know, we, not a David Murphy or Bill Gooden, Walter Murphy thing, but like I say, we, the sister of the National Black Unity News together. And like I say, you know, never before in I guess newspaper history that we have a format the way we do it. It's totally different from other publications. That's why I can confess and tell you about divine inspiration, because I couldn't even thought of this stuff like this the way it turned out. Only God. That's the way I see it, you know. And only God could assemble so many people like yourself on this call and just involved with this publication. You know, it's about 44 editors in this last issue. 44 people. And that's a lot of folks. But, you know, everybody's doing their own thing in their own different way. But, you know, for such a time as this, everybody ain't going to stick with you. Everybody ain't going to be with you all the time. But, you know, for some time, like I said, when we first started out, we had a totally different group of people. For such a time as that, at that time, God put us together. But still, we are still here. And you know, we're going to go here, there, and I think we're going to go a lot of places. But the bottom line is, you know, I just don't want you to forget your significance, not only to the publication, but to who you really are. You know, and all of us, you know, we had to travel some rough roads over in a lifetime. Yet we are still here. We still stand and we still serve it. And you know, and that takes some doing, because like each one of you would tell your story, you know, it would be so amazing. People, you know, don't know how you did it, but you did it. And we're still doing it. So I just want to remind you again, tomorrow morning, I will be on with Dr. McKenzie. Tomorrow evening, Dr. Kent McKenzie and his guests will be on the call with us on the National Black Unity News podcast tomorrow night at 7:30. Then Brother Cliff will have his program where we, us, black people, melanated people, finally come together and pull our resources together, support one another. And we all know this is exact, that this is the formula that we need, so that we can take all our individual talents and bring them to a fourth. Remember that hand thing? If you had one finger, then if you put it, if you put this father in, then you make that fit, how much of a powerful impact that would be. That's exactly what that will is. That's a powerful impact that we could do. If we have all the folks of this world together and all of those different media, education, economics, and educate everything, all on this one will, and we all can feed off each one of them and support each one of them. And just like with anything in life, everything starts with a beginning. And like I said, I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but I do know this. I've been around the block once or twice, been in so many meetings over the years. I've been around so many people over the years, but never before. I've been around such a group of people like in the National Black Unity News, from so many different walks of life, but who have the type of heart sharing and caring. And I don't want you to faint not, because the battle is not won. You know, we got some serious work to do. Each one of us, if we put in just a little bit more work, share the information with more people, get people to subscribe, to look at this publication, because there are a lot of Robert Smiths out there, all over the place, just waiting, don't know where to go, who to go to. And that's why we have to let our light shine. You know, we got to pull these people up, young, old, I don't care how, you know, we got a lot of senior citizens, but all that wisdom and knowledge wasting away because they don't know where to take it to. So that's why I say we have to share and care and promote, you know, this is serious stuff we're dealing with, media. All this information. So again, ladies and gentlemen, if you can come on tomorrow night, tomorrow morning, Wednesday, Brother Cliff is doing his thing. So we got two more days of activities, and Brother Dr. McKenzie is doing his thing on Thursday. So, you know, stay tuned, stay involved, because like I say, you never know who you're going to run across in one of these meetings that it will enhance your quality of life. You may enhance theirs as well. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting late. And I'm going to say good night and see you tomorrow night or tomorrow morning. And you keep doing what you're doing. And I'm going to say bid you all a good night. Take care.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, and God bless everyone.
All right.
Bless you.
Care, y'all.
Goodbye.